I would like to start this Gola meditation with a question of you. I think we all value if someone is absorbed in the service to Krishna or to God. But could it be a service to be absorbed in Krishna? Maybe I should repeat this, because we are just coming into the call and we are just sitting down, and all of a sudden we have to answer questions. It's a little bit unfair. So let me request it. We, in our spiritual movement, value if someone is absorbed in his or her service to Krishna. But the question is, could it be a service to be absorbed in Krishna? What do you think? When I was on the recent tour in America, devotees, of course, wanted to know, how are you, what is going on, and so on. And I clearly told them, I am tired of being a human doing. I want to become a human being now. Or translated in my very specific circumstance as a life, I'm tired of doing things. Then when I finished one thing, then already the next project, sometimes five projects at one time, appear. I think it's time to actually be Krishna consciousness and not only do activities or services in Krishna consciousness. So this Gola meditation, especially this mini-series which we have on the Eightfold Pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, is an attempt to share with a wider audience of devotees an important shift in consciousness, which I feel is the whole point of spiritual life. That is, not only to act and doing meditation, doing projects, doing our lives, but being, resting in the consciousness where we are together with the Lord. This is called in traditional terms which we find in our culture, contemplation, means our Western culture, contemplation, and what in Krishna consciousness, this is called smaranam, one of the processes of performing devotional service. Shravanam, hearing, kirtanam, that is well established in our movement, praising, glorifying, singing about the wonderful activities and characteristics of the Lord. But smaranam, which is the point of everything else we do, is for many a new frontier, a new area in their life. But it is said that the whole purpose of following rules or regulations, and we don't speak here of the four rules and regulations alone, it's regulating our lives in spiritual, in the spiritual direction, it is to always remember Krishna and not forget him. And the Garuda Purana makes a point. The Garuda Purana says, if even a moment is spent bereft of the remembrance of Bhagavan, one should cry out loudly, as if plundered by decoys. How do we, why should we cry out when we don't think of the Lord? Well, everything can be replaced in this world. Money can be replaced, houses can be replaced, jobs can be replaced. Some people say partners can be replaced. I don't think this is very, very deep thinking to say like this, but not even a minute of the time which is spent can be replaced. It's gone forever. So therefore, when time is the most, let us say, valuable object which we have in our pockets in this world, with every minute we are coming closer to the point where we have to leave everything. And this time is best spent when we are thinking of the Lord, when we are Krishna conscious, when we are in our original nature, not in our foreign nature, this way connected with the spiritual reality, which is the only reality that stands in the face of death. Everything else goes, but whatever you have as spiritual treasures in this life, that is going with you. That's an investment in eternal life. Good, so enough theory. What does Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates do in the pure Vana period of the day, that is the forenoon period between 8:24 and 10:48. Normal people think, well, what does God do between 8:24 and 10:48? Good question, I never thought about this. Yes? Oh, Jiva Bhaga, bound soul, you have a lot to learn. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as we heard in our last episode, had gone to take a rest. The other devotees had gone home in the early morning. It was a morning nap, so to say. And they had gone to their houses and respective places. But a few devotees, like Gadadhar and Narahari, had not gone away from the house of the Lord. They stayed in the house, and they had places there to take their rest. So after this very brief period of resting, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is known as Vishvambar, he who maintains the whole world, sits up in bed and then stretches his beautiful golden body. His name is purposefully given here as Vishvambar. When the Lord is sleeping, then he is in his ecstatic pastimes. But when the Lord awakes, he's ready to take care of the entire world, of the entire universe. So when he gets up, goes to a corner of the room and washes his lotus face with wonderfully scented fresh water, and in this way refreshes himself. After this, he again sits down with a supremely blissful mind. You might say it's early in the morning. What is there to be so blissful about? Nothing has yet happened. The blissful mind is there because as he sits on the bed and closes his eyes, he does Krishna Smaranam, or remembers Krishna. Rupa Goswami has left the devotees with 8 shlokas where he describes the activities of Krishna throughout the 8 periods of the day. And the particular shloka which we find, which is the Smarana Mangalam, the auspicious remembrance, it is written down in Govinda Lilamrita. Krishnadas Kaviraj wrote Govinda Lilamrita, and he incorporated the work of Rupa Goswami as the so-called Mula Mantra, the root mantra, which describes in brief the Leelas, which he will expand and fluff out in his work Govinda Lilamrita. So here is the Mula Mantra for you. I remember Krishna in the forenoon when he heads off to the Vrindavan forest to pasture the cows. That is the scene, my dear devotees. The Lord leaves through the eastern town gate. At the town gate there are the animals of the forest who are waiting for him to come in the forest and to greet him when he steps out of the village. There are deers, there are beautiful birds and so on. And Krishna goes with a long, long train of cowherd boys, cows and so on. He goes in front of the cows because the cows will only leave the calves in Vrindavan when Krishna is in front of them, and Krishna is the higher attraction. So he leaves, but he's surrounded with his parents Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. Yashoda laments, "Why did you have to take your birth in a cowherd family, Krishna? Now you have to go out in the forest where there are so many dangers awaiting," and so on. As he leaves, Krishna leaves, he's followed by the residents of the cowherd community. And he goes into the forest, he's greeted in the forest, he's dressed in his flashy yellow dhoti, he plays his flute, and there's a whole welcoming ceremony arranged by Vrindadevi. Everyone dances and is so joyful to see Krishna. Hear how it's described, entering the path of their eyes and then going into the heart. He is already there at the heart all the time. They wait for him, they have meditated, but now it's the direct darshan of the Lord which enters their heart. And he does his cowherding pastimes, but then something, a twist happens. And perhaps Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so ecstatic and blissful in meditating and seeing all of this because of this particular pastime so far, but then this twist. Then, eager to meet Radha, he heads off to the banks of Radhakund, where she will be coming for their secret rendezvous. Yes, they will stay there, they meet for 6 hours together, and nobody of the cowherd community will enter there. It's a very secret pastime place only for the divine couple, the sakis, the gopis who assist in this leelas, and 2 or 3 very confidential priyanama sakas who are allowed to enter the Madhurya Rasa. It's Madhu Mangal, it's Subal and Sridham. These 3 are privy. They are specifically allowed to see Krishna, not only in the Sakya Rasa as a friend, but as the supreme lover of all. I also, the meditation continues, remember Radha. As she first watches Krishna leaving his house, remember that's in the morning when he leaves the village, she then goes to her husband's home, let us add here, her so-called husband's home in Yavat. She goes there, where her mother-in-law, what was her name again? Yeah, in Bengali he will say Jyotila. Where her mother-in-law instructs her to worship who? Sun God, yes. Oh child, says Jyotila, not knowing anything about the rendezvous which will take place in Radhakund, go to Suryakund, the place of the sun god, and worship him with many articles. This will increase our stock of cows. More cows will come. Then she waits at Radhakund, watching the path from which her sakis, whom she has sent to learn of Krishna's plan, as plans will come. In other words, she is at Radhakund, but Krishna is not yet coming, and so she sends her sakis out to ask Krishna eagerly if the meeting will take place, and Krishna sends word through the sakis by which path he will come, and then Radha will wait there until she sees from the distance how a bluish complexion bathes the forest in a smaragd-like color. This is what the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sees, the forest turns blue in wonderment. And then her color mixes, that is her golden complexion, mixes with that wandering blue color, and the forest gets into a most beautiful greenish color, which is very inviting for devotees. So this is the meditation of devotees. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, if you chant the holy name with this kind of steadfast determination, you will soon get a real taste for chanting, which leads to the treasure of prema. What is the determination which will bring your chanting to the level of chanting with taste and with love? Listen. Remember Krishna's four noon pastimes while taking shelter of the holy name. So the sadhaka is sitting at his place, meditating about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as he enters this beautiful pastime of Krishna leaving the village of Vrindavan in the morning and meeting his most beloved Srimati Radharani at the banks of Radhakund. Can you see? This is the mental culture of Krishna consciousness which helps us to become blissful in our mind. So, let us continue with the Gaura Lila. You might remember some devotees like Adata and Narahari had stayed back while Gauranga saw the rest of the devotees off, who then went to their own houses where they took a short nap and then got up to do their various duties. These various duties which the devotees in the spiritual world with Krishna do daily include things like worshipping the deities, relishing the Bhagavatam, having Sangha amongst themselves, where they discuss the beauty, the pastimes of Krishna together. These are various duties which must be performed in the spiritual world. So after getting up, the devotees also splash their faces with water. Perhaps that's something you might like to do when you have done your nap. Could put some Ganga water in the water, no? And then these devotees sit down together, as we heard, to relish the Bhagavatam and then deliberate on it. In New York, I have met devotees, very serious devotees, who actually do this. They came in to see me, and the moment they entered in the room, they were still discussing some subject of the Bhagavatam. It was so natural. It was not that they were forced. And they sat down and said, "Maharaj, what do you think?" "Yes." And then we discussed Bhagavatam. Then the other groups of devotees mingle together. And some meet in the group of 5 or 7, sit down in their home and do kirtan while clapping in their hands. Also nice activity. Perhaps we should also do when we meet. Let's do kirtan by clapping in the hands. Later, all the bhaktas assemble where Srivas Thakur is, the leader of all the devotees, and they go together to Mahaprabhu's house. Now, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has interrupted his meditation on Krishna's pastime, and he waits at the gate of his house. And as soon as these devotees, it's a big group of devotees led by Srivas Thakur, come and see Lord Chaitanya, they are again so much enchanted by the beauty of every single limb which he has, his long arms, his white lotus eyes, and then all his hair, which is nicely arranged in a top knot and has these nice mallika flowers there. The devotees are so charmed that they offer their obeisances, and then they stay in the obeisances mood. They don't move, they don't get up. This is so overwhelming with the beauty. Beauty can be very overwhelming. A divine beauty is totally enchanting. And then the Lord moves to each one of the devotees and makes them stand up by taking them by their hands or shoulders. And then he embraces every single one of them and then makes them sit down very nicely. Then, after some time of talking pleasantly together, the Lord says, "Let us now all go and visit the houses of the devotees." So they all get up they go in the company of all devotees to make visits, home visits at the houses of devotees. And that's really something. Vrindavan Das Thakur says, the Lord remained incessantly in Gadadhar's company and could not be separated from him for even a moment of time. My dear devotees, we need to hear now, this is a little detour, but because we are from the kingdom of this world, we need to see a little bit about the relationship which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has with his devotees. I personally believe that hearing about the wonderful dealings of the Lord and his associates will increase our faith, and it will also give us a taste of something which we hanker so much in this world, true love, true understanding, and so on and so forth. We all are wounded in love, grounded in love means we want to love, we bring our big heart out to the world, and the world does not show us the favor, no? which we need. Mm-hmm. There is a very nice description in this book which I'm presently reading, Prema Vivata, about this sweet relationship. Lord Chaitanya, as you know, has one very temperamental devotee who often disagrees with him. I love him so much, says Jagatananda Pandi, but I cannot stop quarreling with him. they quarrel about this. So one day, Jagatananda decides to go to Vrindavan. He wants to also see other holy places and not just be only with Gauranga Mahaprabhu in Navadvipa. And he leaves like this. He's on the way to Vrindavan, and it's described, I've made a note of it, the more I walk forward in the direction of Vrindavan, the more my mind falls behind. You know, the more he goes in the direction of Vrindavan, his mind goes, oh, how can I leave Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Oh no. Yet, driven by their special relationship, he forcibly continues to move forward. Perhaps you have sometimes experienced this psychological feeling in relationship to Krishna. You somehow almost stubbornly, like a little child, want to do something which you like. Now it's time for me. I experience this a lot with my disciples. They enter always into this revolutionary phase. Some don't get out of it very quickly. Now it's time for me. Now I have to take care of my thing. And while they do this outwardly, inwardly, their mind thinks, oh Krishna, oh Krishna, oh Krishna. Therefore, it is very sometimes not correct for us to judge a person by seeing only his activities. Not all of us can look inside the heart of the devotees. Anyway, so Jagadananda walks towards Vrindavan. Then one early morning he has a dream where Lord Chaitanya is there. He sees the seashore of Puri, and Gauranga dances beautifully. There's also Gadadhar dancing along with him, and they sing just these songs which sound like a shower of nectar. And then Lord Chaitanya turns directly to Jagadananda, who's seeing this vision. Oh Jagadananda, after you left, my mind was very sad, and I took my meals and so on just out of formality. What made you think of leaving me? I was drowning in an ocean of distress because you are so merciless to me. So you go to Vrindavan, and after seeing the land of Braj, quickly return and cook rice, spinach, and vegetable preparations for me. Then only will I survive, and you will become happy as well. Come back. Let me embrace you by touching my heart to your heart. Give up your grudge against me. Cook a rice and spinach preparation for lunch and give it to me so that my hunger will become mitigated. Jagadananda Pandit, who writes this very loving and endearing words which describe the very affectionate relationship between Lord Chaitanya and his devotees, makes a very interesting comment. It's so to say offline comment. Separately from his description, he says, a person who has love for Sri Gauranga faces this type of trouble or dilemma. And there is a question of whether he will survive or die. Everyone whispers that this is the condition faced by the followers of Sri Gadadhara. There is a secret. Lord Gadadhara from the Panchatattva loves Gauranga very, very much. Therefore, he's always by his side in his Navadvip pastimes. And those, there's a whisper, a rumor, those who are in his pariva, his sampradaya, have also this very, very particular type of love for Lord. And even though they may sometimes become a little bit huffy, you know, a little bit pouting, it's called in English, as a bisschen voller Protest, they still cannot leave the love of the Lord. I think we all have this sometimes, that sometimes we protest against the Lord. We are a little rebellious, as we were so long back, and we are a little quarreling. Why this? Why that? Why did this have to happen in my life? And we become a little distant externally. Our spiritual practices may go into a winter sleep, a hibernating, you call it. But in the heart, we feel Krishna consciousness is something you can't leave because you know too much. You can't leave it. You have to see how you can make it work. So yes, so every day Lord Chaitanya goes with the devotees and he visits first one very particular devotee. His name is Shuklambara. Shuklambara lives like a beggar. He has made a small cottage at the banks of the Suraduni Ganga, the Ganga, Janavi Ganga also, and he is so humble, he just goes at no time for Madhukari, he begs. So the devotees tell him, the Lord will come and visit you. Oh, says Shuklambara, what should I do? Should I cook something for him? I must cook something, but I'm such a low-class person. I'm a beggar. Then the devotees tell him, well, if you feel like this, do like this. Take the rice on a plantain leaf and just pour it into a banana leaf, pour it into boiling water, and then welcome the Lord. He will be very happy to see you along with all his associates. So Shuklambara does this. He takes this banana leaf, rice on it, and then he sees a miracle. Lakshmi Devi comes and cooks the rice, spices, and makes it very fragrant. And he's so ecstatic, he sings this song, which I would love you to join me in. The first song. This is the cooking song of Shuklambara Goswami. Jai Krishna Gopal Govinda Namari. Jai Krishna Gopal Govinda Namari. Jai Krishna Gopal Govinda Thank you. everyone is absorbed in Krishna. Could it be a service to be absorbed in Krishna? No one can attain the Lord by wealth, by high birth or scholarship. I would like to add here, no one can attain the Lord by doing a lot of things, getting a lot of projects started. No one can attain the Lord also by knowledge about Him, nor by renunciation. Although knowledge and renunciation are so much valued in spiritual circle, they are not, they are still material qualities, just like wealth or beauty is a material opulence. Hmm? Our qualification to enter bhakti is not how beautiful or wealthy we are, nor how well knowledgeable and how renounced we are. It is a different thing. The Lord is only attained by the taste of devotion. It's a certain thing in your heart to have devotion, and it's there. It has a certain rasa, certain taste. This is repeatedly told in all the shastras. There's one verse which I found which says that it's bhakti which attracts Krishna. Bhaktyaham ekaya graya shradayatma priya satam bhakti punati manishta svapakan api sambhavat. Only by practicing unalloyed devotional service with full faith in me can one obtain me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna says this to Uddhava. Uddhava, listen, you can only obtain me, or anyone can only obtain me by devotional service with full faith, yes. I am naturally dear to my devotees who take me as the only goal of their loving service. By engaging in such pure devotional service, even the dog eaters and Germans, by engaging in such pure devotional service, even the dog eaters can purify themselves from the contamination of their low birth. Let's stop here for a moment. What are the three qualities which Krishna mentions should be accompanying devotional service so that it's potent? The first is man nishta. You should make Krishna as your only goal. When you do something, make His pleasure your goal. The next one is shralaya. You need faith to really play please Krishna. Faithless devotional service, there's a lot of room for improvement in such faithless devotional service. I think it's a contradiction of terms. How can you be faithless when you want devotional service? And then finally, ekaya. You must do it without selfish motivation. It's not for you, for Krishna. Prabhupada once said about him, my motto has always been everything for you, Krishna, nothing for me. This is, of course, ananya bhakti, you know, pure unalloyed devotional service, which may be a wonderful ideal to contemplate, but which we need to approach in our own time. So, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Shukla Bara's place, he had eaten the special Lakshmi cooked rice, why do I say past? He eats this rice. Remember, this is what always goes on. And then he sports or performs his pastimes at the bank of the Ganga. How does this bank look? There are rows of kadamba trees, which are populated by thousands of peacocks, cuckoos, and bees. Lord Chaitanya wanders with his devotees under these kadamba trees, and as he wanders, having the Ganga either on his left side or right side, I do not know which way he wanders, something wonderful happens. Can you imagine what happens at that time? Maybe that happened for one devotee who went out of the Ganga. I think you must be knowing something about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. I think Bhagavad Dharma is would know, and Gadadhar, Prema Mayirati for sure. In Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, you always see this phenomena of, because he wants to show how a devotee acts, that all of a sudden he's in Krishna Leela. This happens when he is in Antar-Chetana, the inner consciousness. He goes in and out. And suddenly, as he sees the Ganga, he sees Jamuna and is overwhelmed with the memory of Krishna. And then he sees Krishna with all his cowherd associates, and they do these cowherd pastimes. And with great feelings, he calls out, "Oh, Sridhar!
Oh, Sridhar!"
More feeling. "Oh, Sudham!
Oh, Sudham!
Oh, Stoka Krishna!
Oh, Stoka Krishna!
Hey, Arjuna! That's not the Pandava Arjuna, that's another Arjuna who is a cowherd boy. "Oh, brother Balaram!
Oh, brother Balaram!"
Yes. Then he says goodbye to Shuklabar and goes to the second house which he visits every day. That is the house of Kolavecha Sridhar. Kolavecha means the bark seller in literal translation. This is a devotee who is so poor that he takes the bark of banana trees and other items of the banana tree and sells it. But Lord Chaitanya, as we heard earlier, values bhakti most, because, yes, bhakti. And he laughs and converses with Sridhar. His whole party of devotees, these are many, many devotees. They sleep, they are relaxing under the banana trees there, and so on. And after a short while, he gets up and leaves and walks like a maddened baby elephant. Very joyful, small baby elephant. Very mad, very joyful. It's a blissful place, this Namadvipa Dhamma, eternal Namadvipa Dhamma. And I believe that the words of the Brahma Samhita are true there also. Every step there is a dance. A mad elephant, baby elephant, I have not yet seen how they walk, but I would now like to visit the zoo and see if we can see this with our eyes. So, in this way, in this time period, Prabhu goes perpetually to everyone's house, perpetually. It happens again and again. He will also come to your house. He visits his devotees. He goes to the house of Gangadas, the house of Murari, the house of Acharya Ratna. And in each house, he reveals to his devotees a vision of the Chatur Bhuja. That his form is Narayan, holding the emblems or symbols of Narayan. We remember together what are the symbols Lord Narayan holds in his hand. Concha, Klar,
Lotus,
Chakra, yes. But sometimes he shows them the six art Sadbhusha form, the form of Lord Ramachandra with bow and arrows are seen, the heads of Krishna who plays his flute, and his other heads. Not the Sannyas heads are there in Navadvipa. That is something else. And so forth. This is an information which we obtain for Chaitanya Bhagavad. Then Mahaprabhu says, okay, it's time for the next period. You know, this has taken, we are now at 10:48 and the devotees, he takes his devotee and sits with them in a very special place in Navadvipa. It's a heavenly flower garden. What takes place there will be explained in the next Gaura meditation evening, because this is marks the full period of the Purvana Leela. My dear devotees, I would like now to ask all of you to enter the Gaura meditation, and we will meditate about what we have just heard by meditating about the verse which Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur uses to describe all this. No? So this meditation will flow into a wonderful song about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which Gaura Krishna will sing. Therefore, I request all of you to have your song sheets handy, and when the meditation is over, you have it right there and don't need to migrate to other places in this room. Whoever has not yet a song sheet, I think Prima maybe Radhe can help you. Otherwise, you look with two devotees in one. Scented water. some time he meets with his devotees, who are all very fond of chanting Sri Harinam Kirtan. Lord Chaitanya personally tastes and relishes the chanting of the holy names. Thus he sports, plays pastimes, sometimes in the homes of various devotees, and sometimes also in his own home. In this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu increases the ecstatic pleasure of all the townspeople to limitless heights. They become so ecstatic seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing on the banks of the Yamuna, seeing him visiting all devotees and then welcoming him and the other devotees in their own houses. And as they take part in these pastimes, seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu going into Krishna Leela and taking all of them into Krishna Leela. In this way, I meditate on the daily pastimes of Sri Gaura Chandra.
You are the one.
Day and night he is wild with ecstasy. Where is the blazing forest fire of birth and death now? Where are the sins of Kali Yuga now? Now he stands before Hari Vallabha or Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur.
I'm
Chakravarti Thakur because of its, let us say, direct encouragement of for all of us. Look at his glorious form. Fill the cups of your eyes. Drink the sweetness of the nectar of his form. How will you do this? You have to look with the eyes of your mind and hear with the ears the kirtan and so on, wealth of sankirtan, My dear devotees and friends, is this seat where you see me sitting empty or is it full? On first glance you would say it's full, you're sitting there. But what if my heart is empty? There's nothing there in the heart except material thoughts. Then, from the spiritual perspective, the seat would be empty. But if there is a person whom we see who may have not so many material things like Kolavicha, Shrita or Shuklamba, because the heart is full with thinking and never forgetting the Lord, then the life is full also. We have seen in America many, many empty houses, empty hearts, empty bridges, empty cars. But we also saw many full hearts, many full houses, many full bridges. I thank you all very much for listening to this Gora meditation. Soon, whenever that is, at the moment I don't know, watch for the announcements. There will be the next period of the day, which will be the fourth period of the day. We have to cover 8. All the best and Hare Krishna.